Good evening, everyone. Let me just get myself organised here. That should work. All right, so for the next 3 weeks, we're immersing ourselves in a little series called Hearing the Voice of God. God speaks. God is relational. Father, Son, and Spirit are always reaching out to you and me in loving relationship, communicating with us in so many creative ways, through creation, through prayer, through worship, through one another and all the variety of spiritual gifts, through dreams, through visions, through personal experiences. Last week in Romans 8, God spoke collectively to all of us through his word, saying, "Nothing can separate you from my love." And this is what we're talking about today. Hearing the voice of God through God's word, through the Bible, through scripture, through the logos, that's the Greek word for the word, meaning divine communication, divine reason, divine logic, divine wisdom. The word, the logos, is God's primary way of speaking and relating to us. And it's in the word that we hang out with God and get to know him and to hear his voice. What if I told you this? That every time you pick up the Bible, you are one Holy Spirit breath away from a fresh encounter with the living God. Let me share a recent experience. Most of you know that about 10 weeks ago, I ruptured my Achilles. That's why I come with all this kind of paraphernalia. But 3 weeks after surgery is a very delicate and fragile time. And all the protocols and the surgeons, they say, don't put any weight through the Achilles during this time. And I'm sitting on the couch late one night, on my way to bed, and I push myself up from the couch to get on my mobility scooter, that cool little thing that I was getting around on for a while, and I misjudge the distance to the scooter and I have quite a big stumble. And I go down hard, right through this very fragile Achilles. And my heart sinks, firstly because of the pain and the shock of what I've just done, but mostly with the realization that I've probably done some severe damage to this new Achilles. And I go to bed that night in quite a lot of distress that I have had this unfortunate stumble. And the next morning, I stay in bed a little longer than usual, not wanting to face the reality of what might have happened, and I sit with a cuppa and I open up my Bible, and this is what I read as I turn to the Psalms. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, delivered my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And I just can't believe it. The first thing that I read is, the Lord has delivered me from stumbling, that I may walk. And I don't normally use the word stumble, but that was the word I was using that night. I've just had a stumble. I texted a few people, I've stumbled. And I'm flooded with emotions as I read this. I'm flooded with reassurance. I'm flooded with faith that God has seen what has happened, that he's with me in the journey. And then he's telling me, I have delivered you from stumbling. And I go to the surgeon that day with a lot of peace in my heart. And he had delivered me from stumbling, which I'm very grateful for. Every time you pick up the Bible, you are one Holy Spirit breath away from a fresh encounter with the living God. The primary way that we hear God's voice is through the Word of God. God is speaking to you through the Word of God. And the logos, the Greek word for the word, the inspired written Word of God, is accompanied by the rhema, which is the inspired Holy Spirit breath of God. Logos and rhema, spirit and truth, intertwined forces of God, are speaking into your life, into your heart, in close, personal, transforming relationship. Romans, over the last few weeks, has been reminding us of the reality of our life in Christ. You, in Christ, are fully immersed in Christ, you in him and him in you. There is no closer relationship that you can have than to be in Christ. And as with all our human close relationships, recognizing each other's voice, hearing, listening, responding, sharing, interacting, communicating is all a part of close relationship together. John, in his gospel, he opens saying, Jesus is the Word. He's the Word who comes to us in flesh. So first and foremost, the Word is a person. The Word is our Saviour who speaks to us through his written Word. And further on in John, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me because they know my voice. So hearing and recognizing and knowing the voice of our Saviour is one of the characteristics and identifying features of a person who is in Christ. And Jesus says, my voice leads to a rich and satisfying life when you follow my voice. Every time we pick up the Bible, we're one Holy Spirit breath away from a fresh encounter with the living God. So if this is the reality, why is the Bible described as the best-selling, least read book? The best-selling, least read book. And I get a pang in my own heart as I say this because I know of all the missed opportunities and moments in my life to hear the voice of my Saviour through his word. There's been seasons when I found it very hard to engage with the word of God. There are many days when hanging out with God in his word is down in my priority list compared to so many other things. What's your experience? Why is this sometimes our reality? And here's some thoughts that came to my mind this week. You might be able to have your own thoughts. Why is this the reality? That it's sometimes the least read book. And this is not to lay any judgment or guilt. This is just to be real, isn't it? Because this is my experience. I suspect that there might be others in the room who have had similar experience. Does any of these things resonate? Scripture can sometimes feel overwhelming and intimidating. How do I understand? Where do I start? Maybe Scripture feels like the less exciting Christian experience. Often we talk about Scripture as a spiritual discipline. It kind of gives a sense of hard work and effort. Sometimes we come to rely on the secondhand voice of God. We get the access to God through maybe podcasts and books and speakers and all these other things that we like. All a part of God's big picture of how he wants to speak to us, but it's through another's voice rather than enjoying the first-hand voice of God into your life. Maybe we've become complacent about our access to the Word of God. When I hear about Christians in China having one Bible between a whole house church and they're tearing out parts of the Bible to share with one another and they have it for a week until they meet again, I know that I am complacent when I look at all the access to all the Bibles that I have sitting in my bookcase. Maybe we're just distracted and busy. You know, there's so many things vying for our attention in our noisy, busy 2025 lifestyles. It's a research reality, and my kids really hate it when I say this to them, but it's a research reality that we're losing the skills of reading and deep thinking and meditation. That's the way God's designed our minds to work. But everything is quick grabs in our social media society. It can be a challenge to sit and to linger in Scripture. I wonder if any of these things resonate with you, and maybe you've got things popping in your own mind of reasons why it might be difficult sometimes to open the Word of God. So for tonight, I've chosen a portion of Scripture to read together as more an immersive experience. So I want us to open to Psalm 119. The psalmist in this psalm is full of longing for the Word. And he's full of anticipation that he will hear his Saviour's voice through the word. It's a really interesting psalm as well because it's actually the longest chapter in the Bible. So we'll just settle in, hey, and get through a bit. But it has 176 verses That's long, isn't it? 176 verses divided into 22 sections. And if you're a mathematician, then that works out as about 8 verses per section. And each section begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's a really interesting psalm. One commentator describes this psalm as a string of pearls. Isn't that beautiful? A string of pearls. Just as each pearl on a string of pearls has equal and independent value, so the 22 sections that make up this psalm have equal and independent value. So you can read a section and it will have meaning in and of itself. The central theme of this psalm is exalting God's word. It expresses the psalmist's deep love for the word of God, his desire to hear God's voice and to know God in close relationship. Now, I've read it a few times this week and in different versions, and I encourage you, it doesn't take that long to get through the 22 sections. Settle in if you get time this week. Read it through. It ministered to my heart. It gave voice to some of the deep longings within me. You can make it personal. So let's jump into this together. Let's absorb it. Let's immerse ourselves in it. Listen for the intimacy. Listen for the relationship that's coming through Scripture. Listen for the voice of our Saviour through it. I invite you to connect your heart. Psalm 119. Let's start at verse 9 and we'll read three pearls together. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And then we'll skip to verse 25. I am laid low in the dust. Just hear how the psalmist is connecting relationally with the word, with the Lord. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I've set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. And then we'll jump to verse 89. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my afflictions. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection, I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Do you feel the desire, the longing for the word of God through these verses? The psalmist is clinging to the voice of God through all of the moments of his life. You can hear how personal, how relational, how satisfying the word is to the psalmist. I heard someone this week describe the word of God as a master chef. Who here watches Master Chef from time to time? I'm just going to cough, just excuse me. I have a tickle. I went away with some friends this weekend and I talked way too much and it's now coming back to bite me, so just excuse the voice. But I heard someone talk about the word as a master chef. It's amazing in Master Chef how the master chef can bring all the elements together for the most satisfying meal. The right amount of sweet and salty and bitter and sour and tart to make a dish satisfying. This is Scripture. all the elements we need for a satisfying life, because God knows how to reach you and to reach me and to speak through his word to meet us exactly where we're at. The word of God is the perfect fit to speak into any situation that we find ourselves in, any season in our life. Sometimes we need comfort. Sometimes we need hope. Sometimes we need a challenge. Sometimes we need direction. We need a big stop sign, or we need a big green light. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of his promises. We need wisdom. We need to know the future, as we heard about before. We need the hope of the future. We need courage. We need conviction. Sometimes we need just the gentle whisper of our Savior. Sometimes we need his loud shout. Sometimes we need a specific message, like, I've delivered you from stumbling. But most of the time, we just need the everyday, ongoing, loving connection with our Savior. Most of our conversations in everyday life are everyday kind of conversations. That's what it's like for me anyway. It's not always full of the highs and lows of emotions and feelings. It's the same when we step into the Word of God. We might not always feel like we're engaging in an emotional high or low or a life-changing moment, but God is always speaking to us. He's always saying something to us through his Word. He's always making himself known. He says in his word that his word will never go out and land void. It's always doing something within us, reinforcing his heart for us. I love you. I'm for you. I see you. I'm near. I'm your rock. I'm faithful. I'm truth. If we want to hear God's voice for ourselves, we have to be in the Word of God. If we want to know it's God's voice that we're hearing in all the different ways that we can hear God's voice, and we'll be talking about some of these ways in the next few weeks, but if we want to know that what we're hearing is God's voice, we have to be in the Word. The Holy Spirit will always and only testify to Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never speak anything through any other person or any other form, if it's from God, that cannot be confirmed in his word. We have to be people in the word. If we want to speak encouragement to one another, which we love to do, it's our joy to do as Christian family. If we want to speak encouragement and life and truth to one another, we have to be in the word, because that's where we hear our Savior's thoughts and love and truth for one another. In this day and age, as we've already seen in the announcements, we're very cautious about scammers, aren't we? If we received a text from a friend telling us something but we weren't sure of the number, we'd find a way to contact the friend and say, "Is that you?" Just like this week, a few people had to contact Pete and go, "Is that you, Pete?" And he said, "No, that is not me." In the same way, if we want to hear and recognize and know and minister God's voice to one another, we have to be in the Word, in his primary source of communication, not relying on second-hand sources of information. When Jesus says in John, "My sheep hear my voice," he's warning about all the other voices that are vying for our attention, trying to lead us in all kinds of directions through different paths. We say scammers. Jesus described these voices as strangers, as robbers, as thieves who are not out for our good. He says that they will steal, kill, and destroy. That's their intent. I was with someone this week who's at a crossroads in their life, and I said, "Ask Jesus what he thinks. You have to ask Jesus what he thinks. And then please follow whatever you hear him say. It's the only voice that is going to lead to life. These other voices that are directing you now down another path are not out for your good. God is speaking to you through his word. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." So we are people of the word. Are you hearing your Savior's voice? Would you like to hear your Savior's voice? In a Lectio Divina is an ancient practice of engaging with Scripture. And I thought that I would just offer it as something to consider for us tonight. Now, this is not prescriptive. This is not, I'm not saying this is the way to hear God through Scripture. It's descriptive. It's a way that you might enjoy engaging with Scripture. And I know quite a lot of us here are still young. We're still kind of finding our way in Scripture. I found it hard to find my way in Scripture at your age. This would have probably been helpful to me. But Lectio Divina is an immersive experience in the Word. It's relational, it's prayerful, it's conversational. The goal is not knowledge and getting through the Scripture. But whenever we spend time in Scripture, we will gain knowledge. Pete's email this week, not the scamming email, but the real email that he really did send, and maybe you would have received that if you've signed one of those partnership thingies. He said, read to receive, not to get through the Bible. Read to receive. Lectio is not about quantity. I'm getting through this chunk and I'm ticking the box and I've done my spiritual discipline of reading Scripture. Lectio is relationship. It's quality time. It's anticipating the voice of our Saviour through the pages. He's looking forward to meeting with me. He has something to say to me. And I'm coming soft and humble and willing to hear and receive whatever he might want to say to me. It's helpful to consider some practical things when we're coming to the Scripture if it's Lectio or any other kind of way we're coming to the Scripture. It's hard to have meaningful conversation when we're distracted and on the run. That's my experience anyway. What time can you create in your life to be in the Word? Do you have a sacred space that you can enjoy? I just have a chair in my living room. It's nothing special, but that's where I sit most often to engage in the Word. It kind of looks outside. I enjoy it. But sometimes I go to a cafe and claim it as my sacred space in that moment. Where's your space? Where do you like to be? Where can you be still and quiet? Maybe even consider a physical Bible as you're spending time in the Word. If a device is a distraction for you, how can you unplug and just be in the moment with God? Lectio follows four stages. They're not rigid legalistic processes. It's just a loose guide for relational reading. Reading, meditation, prayer, and contemplation. Reading. Choose a passage and read it slowly and reflectively. I like settling into a book of the Bible for myself and just journeying through it slowly. I'm in Romans at the moment because the church has been in Romans. You choose something that's good for you. Then listen for God's voice within the words. Listen for him. Sometimes a word will leap out at you, or a thought, or a verse might be highlighted, or something stirs within you. This is the Spirit. This is the Rhema, breathing through the Logos, the Word, speaking to you. In this moment, God is coming near to you. He has something to say to you. Then meditation. Stop. Stop where you get this stirring in your heart. Don't move on to the next verse or the next word. Just stop where you are. Pause at the words that are grabbing your attention. Read it over again. You might like to read it in another translation for a broader experience of the verse. Engage your imagination in this moment. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? What are you hearing? Enjoy some conversation with Father, Son, and Spirit. Do you have questions for them in this moment? Why are you bringing this to my attention, Lord? Do you have pushback? Is this a challenge to read? Do you want more understanding? What are you saying to me, Lord? What do you want me to receive? Help me understand. Then prayer. Speak to God. Sorry. Speak to God about what you're hearing and sensing. You might have praise or thanksgiving. You might be overwhelmed with peace or joy. Just speak it back. Or you might feel sorrow and you might need to confess something to the Lord. You might have something or someone who comes to mind. Lift them up in prayer. Prayer is just responding to God's word in that moment. And then contemplation. Rest in what you've experienced. Absorb the moment. Don't just rush off to the next thing. Journaling is a great idea. You know, there's Bibles with space down the sides. You can write something like next to a scripture, hope, and mention the date. It's just a reminder that you experience God in that moment. Hearing the voice of God through Scripture forms our redemptive journey with Father, Son, and Spirit. And this is very precious and powerful because Jesus meets us in Scripture in this moment, in that passage, and these things will stay with us forever. They'll be forged in our minds, some of these Scriptures, and in our hearts. They'll be forged on our lips. If you'd like to experience more of Lectio, you can go on Right Now Media. Peter Gregg, the 24/7 prayer guy, does a beautiful series on that. I recommend it. It's helpful. Connecting with God through the Word is part of our discipleship triangle. Remember that triangle that we get hammered with every January? We love it, don't we? Connecting with God through the Word is the peak of the triangle. It's from this connection, our connection with the Word through the Word, that everything else in our in Christ life flows. So I invite us to consider, how are you connecting with God through His Word? What place does the Word have in your life? What rhythms do you have for engaging with the Word? But there's a second consideration that's much more significant. Is your rhythm working for you? You know, the Pharisees had all kinds of rhythms for Scripture, but they remained untransformed by the Word of God. Rob Reimer of Soul Care, he says there's two indicators that help us consider if our rhythm in the Word is blessing our lives and hearts. He says, consider this. Am I growing in love for Jesus? Am I growing in love for others? Am I growing in love for Jesus? Reimer says, is Jesus your first love and your primary obsession? Is being with Him and knowing Him your increasing delight? Are you experiencing more of His presence, more of His peace, more of His fullness, more of His freedom, more of His joy? This is what happens when we hang out with the Saviour. Second key indicator. Half a sec. Pause. I blame my girlfriends. Magic lollies, just a minute. Second indicator. Am I growing in love for others? Someone might have to take over. Is your heart softening and expanding in love for others? Growing in love for others. Are you being surprised by your capacity to love in difficult circumstances and situations? Is your life being increasingly marked by love? Jesus keeps it pretty clear and simple, doesn't he? He says everything comes down to these two things. Love God, love others. And this is not about us achieving and generating outcomes through our rhythms. It's not about us comparing and getting prideful with one another and ourselves. It's considering the space in our lives for communion and intimacy with Jesus and the Word of God. And when we create the space, He'll do the miraculous things within us. He'll do the miraculous in our heart and change our heart with love. If you're feeling stuck, stale, uninspired in your rhythms, talk to Jesus about it. I remember a very dry season in my life, so I disciplined myself to open the Word every day, same place, same time. And I just said to Jesus, I want to love your Word. I don't love your Word. I'm uninspired by your Word. You're going to have to help me. And as I disciplined myself, my love for the Word grew and grew. You know, it's Jesus' delight that we hear His voice, that we come to Him, that we enjoy a relationship with Him in His Word. You know, in the natural world, we get hungry when we don't eat. In the spiritual world, we get hungry when we do eat. The more we hear our Saviour's voice through Scripture, the more we hunger for our Saviour's voice. That's certainly my experience. I invite you to have a go, to get into the Word. Your Saviour is waiting for you. He has things that He wants to say to you to bless your life. Every time we pick up the Bible, we are one Holy Spirit breath away from a fresh encounter with the living God. Let me read some more verses from Psalm 119 as our worship team comes up. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I've taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Amen. Bless you guys. May you meet your Saviour in the Scriptures. May it bless your life and heart. Spirit and truth through the Word of God will do a very deep and lasting and transformational work within your body, heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Let's be people of the Word. Amen.